the boys don't know how to act. Yeah.
Get your sexy on.
You ready?
Yep, we're ready.
You ready?
Tim Hasselbeck every Wednesday at high noon. Timmy, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Well, more importantly, how are you and the family? Did you guys, how were you affected or were you affected?
So, you know, I texted Chase this, you know, earlier in the week. You know, we've lived here for less than 5 years. So we are, you know, the sirens, you know, the alarms basically are still foreign to us. And so, you know, probably like a lot of people, about 1 a.m. or so, you know, heard them. And, you know, at that point, you know, it's kind of like, you know, again, not really being from here and still kind of, I think sometimes wondering, is it a tornado watch? Is it a tornado warning? What's the difference? Is, you know, are they testing, you know, the sirens? And I really wasn't aware that there was, you know, weather in the area. So, you know, woke up and actually looked at my phone, which I typically don't do, and was able to follow and see what was going on. And, you know, at that point, to be honest, at that point that I was awake, you know, there was already kind of reports that it had moved east of where I live, and reports that it was kind of, you know, there was bad weather in Germantown. And, you know, and obviously waking up the next morning, and, you know, as the sun was rising, seeing some of the devastation, I think I probably, like a lot of people, was kind of just in a state of shock. And, you know, we really, you know, personally, you know, in terms of our home and our immediate surroundings, you know, not affected by it the way that so many people were. And so I just, I think, you know, I don't know how, you know, you guys have all lived in the area longer than I have, and even through some, you know, some unfortunate kind of weather situations. But, you know, for us, it was new and I think shocking for us and our kids.
Yeah, we were just literally talking about that since I've been here, which was January 1st, 1998, which was about 4 months away from the big tornadoes in 98. So this was like the third for me. Chase has grown up here. Willie's been here longer because he played at Vanderbilt. So we've kind of gone through three big tornado situations and, of course, the flood, which is coming up this May on a decade. Hard to believe that's going to be 10 years this May. But I think we were just talking about that. We were all, even Monday night when I'm doing post game at Bridgestone Arena, I'm like, hey, just kind of keep an eye on weather. I think we may be having some severe weather coming from the west, and, you know, don't know when it's going to hit, how bad it's going to be, but just monitor, just make sure you're keeping a close eye. Once again, Chase and I walking to the car, leaving downtown, and just no idea what was about to happen less than 2 hours later. You know, just, and I was just like you, the next day, just in disbelief of what had happened overnight.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw a video of, I guess it's kind of the third and Lindsay area of Germantown, I mean, I just thought, like, I think just shock. And, you know, I'm certainly not trying to, you know, kind of, I don't know, sensationalize, like, you know, my proximity to it with so many people, like, directly, you know, affected. But, like, you look at a map and you go, oh, my goodness. And I'm sure there are families that feel like, hey, I was just a couple blocks away. And, yeah, it's shocking. It's scary. It hopefully, you know, is something that, you know, is somebody that, you know, I heard alarms and then see it past me. I mean, looking back on it, even with it past me, you know, should have rounded up my family and gotten to a safe place. And, you know, it's, you know, alarming to see that. I will say this, you know, my wife, Elizabeth, definitely has a, you know, kind of a first responders mentality. And, you know, so we loaded up my truck yesterday and filled it with, you know, things that people are probably going to need, you know, whether it was, you know, blankets and pillows and just, you know, things to go drop off to some of the community centers that are receiving the stuff. And, you know, the thing that she was saying to me as we were driving home, which, you know, I think is really remarkable, and we have felt it, you know, in our short time living here in Nashville, is that we saw so many young people and just so many people in general. In fact, we went to two, locations, and they turned us away and said, can you go to any of these other locations to donate stuff, because we're full here and we're not receiving any more donations. So I think there is a spirit about the people here. I think that there is a kind-heartedness to the people that live here. You know, we have felt like there that people have space to care about the people around them. I know I'm not going to be surprised to see the way people, you know, in this community and, out in Mount Juliet, I'm sure in Cookeville as well, that rally to help the people that were really, really hit hard, by what happened.
You know, we were missed you on one of the Predators games. I felt like it was football night in Bridgestone Arena. You know, you had Jeff Fisher in the house. You had Rob and Rex Ryan. You had Mike Vrabel. I don't know if he was FaceTiming Tom Brady that night, but Vrabel was in the house, and really the only thing missing was you. We were a little bit surprised.
What night was this?
This was, what was it, guys?
Saturday night?
Yeah.
No, let's see.
Wasn't it?
I can tell you exactly.
I was there Saturday night.
No. It was not. No. It was not this past Saturday night. It was.
Was it the Columbus?
Columbus game, I'm thinking February 22nd.
I went to the Colorado game when the bad call,
yeah.
No. You know, negated the bad goal interference negated the call.
Yeah, I think it was the Saturday before. So I guess I'll just start there since I, throw in a little joke of Mike Vrabel FaceTiming. So you still 0%?
I knew this was coming.
You know, I've actually been anticipating this as well. I'm not going to lie. I've been a little nervous on my 0% for a while. Like, I've had a couple of situations where I'm like, really kind of stupid of me not to say there's a 1% chance. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie. I've had a few moments like that. I don't see it making sense. Like, I've had a couple people tell me that there are some teams that have done, kind of to your point of our last conversation, Darren, they've done some economic studies on the impact of Brady coming to their team, by way of ticket sales and merchandise and then just, general excitement for the team. Maybe I have undersold that, in terms of, why I don't think that he ends up coming here. I still think it has to be a fit for Brady. So I think when you look at that, I just, when I say a fit for Brady, and this is what I said to you guys the last time, I'm talking about a fit for him, yes, sure, football-wise. I think first and foremost for him, it is family, and then it's TB12, and then it's football. Like, I think that's the order that it goes in. And I just, that's why I'm not sure that he's coming here. I don't think it's a big enough city.
Well, do you buy now the latest charge by the 49ers? Do you believe or into anything you read on that front?
Well, I think that there's been a lot of talk about Kyle Shanahan not being, totally enamored with Jimmy Garoppolo. And so I think, there's always going to be a little bit of, there's going to be whispers around that just because I think there's enough people that think that that's how Kyle feels about him. Then you connect the dot of, where Brady, is from, and then, maybe an effort to get back to the West Coast and all of that stuff. I also do think, and listen, saying this as an employee of ESPN, part of what happens this time of year is that so many shows, whether it's Get Up or Sports Center or NFL Live or whatever it may be, as well as talk radio and that type of stuff, you have to talk about this. There's airtime to fill, and you say, okay, where would be a good fit for Tom Brady? Well, then, you know, you start having that conversation and you say, you know, and then Adam Schefter chimes in and it's like, well, it's not out of the realm of possibilities because of how this contract is structured. And then I just think it takes off. And so I think there's a little bit of that going on right now with all of this quarterback movement. You know, I mean, like, I've seen so much stuff with Phillip Rivers and where he could end up and all that. But, like, and people have talked about the Titans and Phillip Rivers. Like, where do you guys think Phillip Rivers is on the list of priorities for the Tennessee Titans?
I've said all along, I think it's there. He's not on the list. It's either Brady or Tannehill. That's what it's going to be under
right,
center
so,
next
so,
year.
So at best, he's the third person on the list.
At best. Yep. And that list is page two.
Right, and I agree with that. But that hasn't prevented people from talking about Phillip Rivers maybe being with the Tennessee Titans. So that's where. I just think that this time of year, you know, because people are forced to kind of give answers on things, and people whose opinion matters, like an Adam Schefter or somebody like that, you know, it starts to grow a little bit.
Well, I'm just going to say this, and I want you, because we have fun and we take friendly jabs, and this is not a jab. I think what surprised me about your hard stance in 0% is everything around you is telling you this is different. I mean, there's never been this chatter before, and you're right in that world when you're up there in Bristol, and it's all over the internet. And by the way, I also pay close attention to the books, because in Vegas they don't do things to lose money, and they are addressing it. The fact that they are recognizing that at least if you look at the odds, it's real. It's not fantasy land, or he would be minus 8,000 to stay with the New England Patriots, right? And everybody else would be plus 8,000. And that's not how it is. It's the Patriots and the Titans, and there's been this late charge by the 49ers, but there's real odds on other scenarios, and the odds are not mind-blowing that he wouldn't leave New England. So everybody's addressing it. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. You may end up truly getting the last laugh, and we'll have fun with that. But there's enough proof now, to me at least, to know that there is something to this. There is absolutely, like, this could actually happen. There's just too much chatter.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think there's, like, I still don't think he comes here, right? Not like I, am I, do I feel as confident as I did when I told you 0%? No, I'm not going to back off of it because I can't at this point.
You're all in.
I'm all in.
And that's what I like about you, best friend.
Your chips are right in the middle of the table.
Trust me, Elizabeth knows this. It's very hard for me to admit I'm wrong. there is also the reality, too, of, and guys go through this, everybody wants more than one dance partner when they hit free agency. Everybody. I don't care if you're Tom Brady or you're somebody else. And so, you know, for Brady, if his desire is just to really, really make New England pay, you know, or to really, really just chase money, like, I think that's part of the thing that I'm struggling with a little bit in seeing Brady come here. Is, let's think about it for Brady. Is he making the move for money? Probably not, right? I mean,
can't imagine that he would.
I don't know who could really believe that. I mean, it's
right. So, and the reason I'm saying is like the money's going to matter, but the money's going to be really close everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, like it's going to be roughly the same. And look, a little, you know, more money in Tampa Bay than New England, and then you factor in the taxes and that kind of thing. Like, could be a couple million bucks. Sure, it could. But I just don't feel like he's making a decision based on, you know, $3 million a year. I don't. So I don't think it's really the money, okay? I don't think that it really is about winning. Like, is going to a good team and being good, does that matter? Of course it does. But he's won more than anyone ever. Most guys like him think that wherever he...
Oh, no.
Tim, are you there?
We have lost Timothy.
That sounds like his battery went dead.
Possibly. But he's still there.
When it's the quick zap.
He's still there.
You guys there?
Yeah, there okay, you went away. Did you hit mute?
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened, but I'm hearing some random stuff. Anyhow, I know you guys are on different phone lines. It could be me, but I don't think that he's making the decision for money. And I think when it comes to winning, like I don't know. I just don't know that you can go look at any of these places and be like, yeah, you are so much closer winning at this team than you are at that team.
Yeah.
Like, New England's got a better defense than just about everybody else. You know, Tampa Bay had a quarterback, you know, lead the league in yards and touchdowns this last year, and no one really thinks he's any good. So how much better would Brady make him? And, listen, the Titans were in the playoffs, and, you know, they obviously, you know, are a team that's kind of ascending and built the right way. Like, you look at the Chargers, and they've got a lot of talent. I mean, I just don't think there's a single team that you look out there and you go, and here's your better ticket to winning. And so I just think the decision comes down to, where's he living? You know, he's got, you know, one kid that you know, from not his wife, that is either going to be in New York or L.A., and then he's got, you know, his family and a wife that, you know, she's running around doing different things. And so, like, where you're located kind of matters. So I just feel like that's what matters. And I just don't know how Middle Tennessee makes sense for that.
Okay. Well, let's do this as we'll come back, and Willie and Chase will hit you with some stuff. But let's just get this out of the way. If you end up being wrong, can you tell us today that we can get 3 or 4 minutes with Elizabeth on the air with you on your first Wednesday hit if this happens, so we can talk to her about you never admitting you're wrong?
Yes, you can do that. And I think we already bet. Didn't we already bet that I would have to address you as Mr. McFarland?
Yeah, I think that was in the language of the contract. Yes. All right, Marvin. So you're saying yes, down. Yes on Elizabeth?
Yeah, I mean, what am I getting in return if he doesn't come? We got
to
figure. Well,
we'll figure that out. All right, more with Tim Hasselbeck on the other side from ESPN here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back here on 102.5 The Game. Darren Donick and Chase with Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. So, Tim, let's look at this from the Patriots' perspective. Where do you think their head is right now? How much effort do you think? I'm looking at ESPN's website, and Bill Barnwell has a very detailed breakdown of, you know, how they arrived to this point and what the alternatives are. So where do you think the Patriots are in terms of how much they're going to really try to work to salvage this, or are they willing to just let the chips fall and try to move forward?
No, I mean, I think when you hear, you know, when you've heard Robert Kraft talk in the past, I mean, I think that, you know, I think it'll be an effort to re-sign Brady. And I think there was some stuff last week about with the current CBA negotiations and kind of seeing where, you know, the expectation that is going to turn out, that maybe is, you know, caused a little bit of a delay between New England, you know, talking to Brady. But look, I would think that the relationship there is still overwhelmingly positive, you know, from his time there, the success that they've had there, the relationship that agent has had, you know, with that team and with the owner, as well as, you know, Brady and Kraft saying that, hey, you know, look, I hope he's either a New England Patriot or retire. It's like, you know, with Belichick and all the power that Belichick has in that organization, Robert Kraft's still the owner. And so, you know, I don't think there's a situation where New England's like, all right, you wanted a test free agency, like, good luck to you. Like, you know, just keep us posted. I don't think that'll be the position. And at the same time, I do think that you probably have to prepare yourself in the event that, you know, a situation arises where, you know, he does, you know, end up somewhere else. So, you know, they probably aren't operating like there's a 0% chance of him leaving. but I do think that there probably is a fair amount of optimism still in New England.
I don't know if you heard Bruce Arians' comments about Jameis Winston. I thought it was interesting how honest he was about just basically, we want to look at a lot of options, Jameis being one of the options, but I thought he was a little more forthcoming than I've heard some people who could have maybe either not spoken or kept it very, very close to the vest. So what did you make of that, and what do you think, if you're Jameis Winston, that means for his future?
Yeah, I've always kind of felt like that Bruce Arians had, like, some elements to him that reminded me of, like, an offensive Rex Ryan. You know what I mean? Where, like, Rex is not afraid to give anybody a sound bite, you know? And I think that's how Bruce Arians is. You know, I don't think he's afraid to say something that's, you know, critical of a player or anything like that. And, you know, in some ways, you know, they're similar in the sense that, you know, players love playing for Rex. I mean, love it. And, you know, guys speak so highly of having played for him. And you think of some guys that have been around Bruce Arians, especially quarterbacks, there are a lot of guys that love their time being around him. And so, look, yeah, I think that, you know, whether it's Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning, like people love him. And, you know, look, if you're Bruce Arians and you think that your team might make a run at Tom Brady and you know, your cell is, you know, Tampa's closer to Brazil than Foxborough, you know, then maybe you feel like you have a chance to get him. And you know, and maybe Peyton Manning is helping you recruit him. I don't know. But I always have felt like, you know, he's always spoke pretty candidly, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, get into the mix with Brady.
If we saw the story here the last few days, Jack Conklin looks like, whether the report is true that specifically the Jets are going to be the landing spot, which it might be, I think it really hit us in the face just what kind of market value he has. So if the Titans don't have Jack Conklin, what then? How big of a problem is that?
Yeah, I think it's a problem based on if you know, the identity is still going to be similar to the identity, you know, of a year ago. You know, what's interesting, I think, about Conklin is that he played well this past year. The prior season, which I guess would have been his first one back, you know, from the ACL, if that's correct, I think he played as well. And, you know, I think we had talked probably over a year ago about, like, hey, what do you do with him? Like, do you get ahead of the game, you know, on Conklin and try to, you know, much like the Philadelphia Eagles have done and have done for a long time, like sign somebody early. So now all of a sudden, like if you would have gone back to 2018, the end of 2018, and done a deal with Jack Conklin, you know, it would look very different than what the numbers are going to come in at, you know, April of 2020 for him. So, look, I think that he's a really good player. I think the market will end up dictating it. I think he obviously looked much healthier this past year than he did at times the year prior. And with that being the case, look, starting tackles in the NFL are really expensive, especially if they came into the league, you know, near the top of the draft, which, you know, he did in terms of, you know, was he a second round pick, I think, or I forget where he was. But, like, you know, if you drafted relatively high and you're a starting tackle, like, that's just going to be the
first.
Market.
Yeah, he was the first.
He was the first?
Yeah, he was John Robinson's first draft. Yeah,
that was they wheeled and dealed the first pick in the draft and ended up with whatever pick Conklin was, the eighth pick or the tenth pick. After they got all the picks back, I think they made another trade.
High? Yeah, I mean, that's just – I just think that, look, that still matters, you know, to people, you know, where a guy came into the league. And so, I mean, that's what you're going to deal with, you know. And then, you know, you look at some of these other teams and you go, okay, like, look, just say it's the Jets, for example. The Jets are like, look, we need to create a better environment to figure out how good Sam Darnold is. Like, that's just – that's the situation that, you know, the Jets are in. So, look, it's hard to find good starting tackles that can play 16 games or more. And that's why, you know, if you know early, you try to resign them.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. So with the decisions that John Robinson has to make, how much do you think that could delay him with the other things that he has to do in free agency if he's still sitting around waiting on, A, who the quarterback is, whether it's Tannehill or Brady? You know, I know if he franchise tags Henry, that helps him out a little bit, but then Conklin and others. Do you think that some of these big heavy hitters that he has on his roster now are going to delay him with other signings?
You know, I don't here's the thing that I would think. I think the Conklin thing, like, it might happen quickly, you know? So it's like, you know, I think you have a week to decide on that. I think the big question mark is, like, how long, like, does Brady do the free agent tour? Like, if Brady is, you know, at the start of free agency, just going to go ahead and make a decision, then that's one thing. But if he's going to basically say, listen, you know, I'm going to go visit everyone. I'm going to talk to the team. I'm going to really be thoughtful about this decision. Then I think that puts everybody on hold. You know, like, I think that's what it does. If you're really into, you know, potentially, you know, re-signing, you know, or signing Brady. Now, it depends on, like, if you're willing to wait for Brady. I would just say this, and I know that this, obviously, I've dug my heels in on it. But, like, put yourself in John Robinson's shoes. I would think that, you know, he's not going to take a discount, but Ryan Tannehill probably wants to be a Tennessee Titan. Like, he wants to be the quarterback here would be my guess. He ended up having a very good year. The city likes him. The players like him. He obviously meshed well with the play caller. Like, he's a good fit here. So if he's not here, where is he?
It's a very good question.
He's also going to want to get it done. So if you're John Robinson, you have somebody that played great for you that wants to be there. Like, you can get that deal done. And you can start talking about it now. Or are you going to kind of give him the Heisman and duck him for a couple months to figure out what Tom Brady's going to do and risk losing him? Like, that's another one of the reasons I think that, like, if I'm John Robinson, like, I'm just getting this deal done with Ryan Tannehill. Like, I'm going to do it.
No, go ahead.
I mean, don't you guys, like, I don't know why you would, because here's the thing, you could lose Brady and Tannehill.
That's what I've been worried about,
that's what you can't have happen, in my
opinion. Said you stick with what you know. I mean, Tannehill, I know he only played 10 games, but they were solid. I mean, got your team to the playoffs, got your team to the AFC Championship, albeit Derrick Henry had a lot to do with that, too. It was a team thing, but I think you go with what you know.
To quote the movie Hoosiers.
Would you guys agree with the assessment that, like, it feels like Tannehill wants to be here?
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't, but.
Correct. He does. He wants to be here. And I think that there's no shot that it's unanimous in the building that they would want to go another direction. Now, there might be people, there could be a majority that, you know, that would like to go down the Brady path. But
in fairness, they don't need it to be unanimous. If JR and Vrabel want him here, that's the only two votes that matter. And I guess unless Amy Adams Strunk said no.
So Darren, here's where I would disagree with you on that. Would we all agree that the decision for any of these teams to sign Brady is economical and football?
Correct.
See, that's why I don't think it's just those two guys making that decision if you're going that route. Like, I think that...
Why is that?
Because I think the business side of your organization is going to have as much of a part of signing Brady as the football side of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you just said that you've kind of changed a little bit on... The way I've been thinking big picture the whole time is what his impact is, what it means a franchise.
Right. And so what I'm saying is that that's why I don't think that it's just as simple as Vrabel and Robinson. Like, I could be wrong, but, like, I think that is are you guys on board with it from a football perspective? Because it makes sense financially. Like, I think that's how it goes. I think that's the same case for the Raiders, the same case for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that's the situation. I think you could get stood up, you know, at the altar by Brady, and all of a sudden Tannehill has moved on, and then you're on page two, you know, having the Philip Rivers discussion, And like, I don't know that it's worth, yeah, and I don't know that it's that worth that risk for a 43-year-old quarterback. That's well, just that's the way I would see it. And look, maybe Robinson and Rabel feel differently about it, but even though I feel uneasy about my 0%, I'm just being like, the more I talk about it, the more I'm like, I don't see. Like, I don't know that the football guys would want it that
well,
bad.
Well, I just refuse to believe that there's really that they don't know anything. I mean, I refuse to believe that. It's not like they're going to play the game of chicken when the window goes up and says we're open for business, the NFL window. I just when you have that relationship, I mean, as much as Brady and Vrabel have talked, they go to the Derby. I mean, we just saw the shots over the weekend, you know. Julian Edelman and Brady at a Syracuse basketball game, and there's Vrabes right there on FaceTime. And I mean, you have relationships. You know how this works, Tim. I mean, they would never, ever admit it, and nor should they. But if you have relationships, whether it's this business, on the television side of things, any business, you know stuff goes on behind the scenes. It
yeah,
just does.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I just don't know that, like, Brady ends up coming to Tennessee because he and Vrabel were teammates. And, you know, no matter how strong the relationship is, like, you know, I don't know that that's what gets it done. Like, Brady still has to, you know, work it out with his wife and his fraternity. Like, there are, I think, other things that are a much stronger pull than that. That's what I feel like I have always seen. Now, look, you know, the New England thing is, you know, guys that have played there, you know, are really tight, you know. I mean, you just see there's certainly a uniqueness to the experience for a lot of those guys there. But listen, Chase and I FaceTime all the time, and I haven't been in the studio in a while. So, I mean,
it's true.
You know,
it's very true.
Doesn't always, you know, doesn't mean it's always fire.
Darren's okay? Getting jealous, so we're going to have to fix that. So.
Okay, so let's end with this. If Tom Brady picked up the phone and called Tim Hasselbeck, said, hey, mm-hmm. Tim, it's TB12, man. I know you got some connections in Nashville and everything, and I respect your opinion. I watch your work.
You know the town.
You know the town. I think you're a good football guy.
Let me interrupt you quickly.
You're not. You're going to try to tear yourself down.
He's heard my position on Deflategate, and there's been a few communications since. I don't think he's calling me.
That's in the past. That's all in the past, Tim. He is worried about the future. That's in the past. He's looking forward, and he's like, you know what? How I felt about Timmy back then is not how I feel today. This is about the now and the future. I'm calling Tim. Tim, I think I'm really considering coming to Nashville and playing for the Titans. So what do you think? Does this bet affect how you answer that question to TB12?
No.
You steer him away because of this show? Would you say, hey, Tom, look, you're not going to come here, man. I'm just telling you. You'd want to steer clear of this. Do you do that because of this show and this bet?
No. And this is how I feel about it. I think Brady at any of the places that I mentioned – makes them a legitimate contender. So staying in New England, they're a Super Bowl contender. Going to the Chargers, I think they could be as well. Same thing in Tennessee. I think even in Tampa, you know, it would make everyone real nervous, okay? So I think that he's that good of a player, and I think he'd have that kind of impact. I still go back to this. I don't think he's making a football decision. If you are making a football decision, you stay in New England with
Tim, answer the question.
You know.
I have asked how you will tell – what would you tell Tom? You're not answering the question. What would you tell him?
I would say to him, listen, this place is great. Like, we've loved living here. I think most people love living here, being a part of this community. I think from a football perspective, it would be a good thing. All of that stuff. That's how I would answer the question. I think that when it comes, and really what I would say to anybody, like in all seriousness, if they were like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this, they're like, all right, well, what things are important to you? You know,
yeah.
If the things that are important to you are, you know, your family and, you know, like your work situation and that kind of thing, you're like, all right, well, how does that fit for how your family operates? You know? So like, Like, look, we love living here, but if my wife still worked in New York City, like, it wouldn't work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's – look, I'm also basing this on, like, guys that play till they're 40, like my brother did, okay? The decision is no longer about, like, hey, can I keep playing? Like, Matthew could have gone to Denver or Miami when he was done in Indy. But he had kids in high school. He was like, am I really doing this? Like, that was the driving factor, not can I still play football?
Yeah.
That's the driving factor when guys get older.
As we get older, sure, that makes sense. Good stuff, as always. We did say during the break that we kind of felt like you have a little bit of happy feet right now. You're uncomfortable in the pocket, and so...
I am. I'm uncomfortable in the pocket.
You
However,
can kind
you,
of feel...
You guys also need to come out. If I'm right, like, what am I getting in return if I'm right?
Well, we've got a week to figure it out, and we'll address it next Wednesday.
Hey, and you got me as your left tackle. I got your blind side. Don't worry.
Okay. That's as long as I got Chase, I'm good.
Like, how much more nervous did you just get now? I feel like now you've got sweaty palms.
I'm good. Chase is on my side. I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you, Tim.
All right, Tim. Good stuff as always. Right. Have a great week.
See you guys.
Tim Hasselbeck. Love the visits. Every Wednesday started at noon. Willie, tell everybody about Lee Company.
All right. Let me tell you about Lee Company. 615-567-1000. Now, needless to say, a lot of people's minds are not perhaps on their air conditioning unit at the moment. You might have other things that you got to get to. But remember, Lee Company is out there, and they do have a lot of different services that they can offer you, whether it be general maintenance, whether it be home improvement, and, of course, your air conditioning, your heating, your cooling, or excuse me, your plumbing system, and your electrical system. Lee Company has a fantastic array of things for your home or for your business. So 615-567-1000 is the phone number to call. Or if you want to go on their website, check them out at leecompany.com. They are a big sponsor of the Nashville Predators, and you will see their display all over Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night when the Predators get back in action against the Dallas Stars. They sponsor our pregame radio coverage as well. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Some pretty profound stuff from Tim Hasselbeck. We've learned today, Willie, that maybe a little remorse, a little buyer's remorse on his hard 0% stance. And he's admitting that, even though he's saying it's hard for him to admit that.
In retrospect. Well, let's put it this way, too. March 10th is, as we've said, the first really big day in all this, right? Because that's when you could start to use the tags, right?
March 16th is kind of the day I've been looking at.
And that's the real day.
That's
is the
real
16th.
Day. Mm-hmm.
But he hit the real question at the end there, and that is what you can't have happen is gamble to see what happens with Brady, and then you end up not having Brady or Tannehill.
I feel that's very confident there's no way that would happen to John Robinson. No chance.
And here's another thing that you can't know. There's a lot of great things in sports you can go back and say, you know, if we could do it all over again, if we knew what we know now, how would you go differently? But here's what we can't know. Just the whole process. Tim Hasselbeck was like, do you think Ryan Tannehill wants to be here? I think we know the answer is yes. He would love for them to say, listen, you're the man. How will it affect him if there really is this play with Brady, or if there really is a play with Brady behind the scenes? Will it affect him? Like, hey, you really want a Brady after all I did? I don't know what makes him tick. Maybe he'll just shrug it off and keep going. But I do wonder. And just like, you know, right now sitting here today, I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but I was asking the question last summer or last spring, why didn't they just exercise the fifth-year option on Conklin? Do you think if they could do that over again? I mean, knowing what they know now?
We know the answer to that.
And then, as Tim said, if you really could do it all over again, knowing what you know now, committing to him earlier for a bargain deal when his stock was down, when he was going through the injury, that could have been a brilliant play. But those don't always work out, right? I'm always a big fan of those because just it probably I'm influenced because I've seen the Predators do it. I've seen a lot of baseball teams do it. The Indians built their first great run in the 90s by investing in some guys early before they made the big money and building a nucleus of guys that end up being really good value for a team that didn't have an unlimited budget, all those guys.
They identified their young talent. They paid them more than they were worth at the time to keep them for what would build up into the run. And then when it was time, when they exploded and they'd had a couple World Series appearances and it was time for the big, big payday, Albert Bell left, Jim Thome left, right? They all, Manny Ramirez, they let him go. But they had them all to the point where it was time for the big payday, and then they let him walk, which is interesting, right? It's always an interesting approach. But I think so many times, and I'd love to see the data. How much does the big payday, how much does it ever really pay off, especially like in baseball? Like, I just saw the reports where Christian Yelich, what, he's getting ready to get a $215 million deal
really
from the
Brewers. That's
really a bargain. Now, think about, so let's think about the teams that where you kind of feel like you have to, right? Like, we can't let him go. Like, Joey Votto was Cincinnati.
But he gave him a little hometown discount.
He did. Joey Votto. You think that deal's been worth it for Cincy? No. That's a no. It's not been. It just hasn't been. So far, the early returns, very early. You think Manny Machado has been worth it in San Diego? $300 million? No. That's early. Let's examine.
See, that's the thing is when you do something like that, you expect the return in the first 3 or 4 years should be your biggest return. Yeah. And you know when you sign a guy to 10 years, that years 8, 9, and 10, you're saying, hey, whatever we get would be gold there. You know, I'll take anything. It's all gravy at that point. We know when the guy's in his... You know, he's a lot older. We don't know what he's going to look like, but we should know what he looks like in the first 4 years. So that's concerning that it hasn't been better right from the start. Same thing with Bryce Harper and the Phillies. They got a okay year. He wasn't bad, but they didn't win a whole lot, and they were hoping for more, for sure.
Didn't even get into the playoffs.
Yeah,
so
they were hoping for
so
a lot more.
As of
it
right
wasn't
now,
just him. I mean, other things went wrong,
right,
too.
But as of now, but when you've invested $330 million, you made him the highest player in the game, it hasn't been worth it through a year.
I'll give you another baseball one that we talked about a lot as it was going on. In light of Jack Conklin, right? The Red Sox decided not to invest in Mookie Betts when they could have gotten him for a much more reasonable price to lock him up long term. And now he's on the Dodgers, right? And he's going to break the bank. We know what's going to happen. It's great for Mookie. The Red Sox probably could have had him at a better
rate. But do
we
know that, though? I mean, the reports are he told them, no on $300 million. Is that because because of what you're saying? Because maybe he had hurt feelings of you had all these years to really, you know, open up the bank and pay me. Instead, you just kept going through arbitration, and I had to keep winning that and getting pay raises when you could have offered me a $200 million deal and I would have jumped at it 3 years ago. You know, is it maybe because of that? Like, I'm going to make you pay now. But
we'll
to your point,
know,
you're right. They could have done it, and he would have taken a lot less at the time.
They took him to arbitration. Why in the world would you do that?
At least twice, right?
Yeah.
Three times, maybe?
Well, I don't know. They actually had to go into the – didn't they actually do the arbitration in 1 year?
Yes. Remember, he won $10 million the first time.
Well, he won three straight years.
Three straight years. Or what was it before 10, and then it was 10, then it was 20. Well, no, it was 10, 20, and then 27.
But they avoided the actual case, the 1 year. I just thought that through all that time, the Red Sox couldn't come up with the right price there. It's one thing for the Rays with David Price as he was going through that. They knew they were never going to be able to sign him to the next contract. It was just not going to work in their budget. So they took him as long as they could have him, and then they traded him while they could still get something for him.
I guess the question is, in sports, like I said, I'd love to see the data. In sports, we're kind of singling out baseball, but in sports, the big, big deals, do they ever really work out? Are they truly ever really worth it?
Well, let's bring back another thing that Tim said.
Let's find some positive examples. Can we think of some offhand that where it was absolutely worth it?
Well, let's bring back another factor that Tim mentioned, Tim Hasselbeck, in our conversation, that what about the business side of it, right? Bryce Harper, the Phillies, their cable subscriptions, all of their season tickets, that makes it worthwhile on a lot of fronts. The financial windfall that you get in the short term, right? Agents are the
tickets,
first to bring
merchandise,
that.
Merchandise sales.
Yeah,
all
jersey
all that
sales,
stuff.
All of those things. You've mentioned it many times,
yes,
in the whole Brady thing. That's something to consider, for sure.
There are people that have said, because of that, because if you just look at Albert Pujols to Anaheim, you say, that wasn't worth it. Look at the deal. St. Louis should have never... And then look at Anaheim. They didn't get the return on him.
No.
But there are people that will counter and say, but look at our TV numbers, look at our merchandise. All the other stuff went up.
That's how they justify
it. Yeah, that's how they justify
it. But you want to have both, right? It doesn't.
Of course.
It really doesn't
help
you.
You're not doing it. I mean, you are. That's a big factor. But the main thing, the big picture is we think that's going to push us over the top, take us to a new level for winning, success.
I think if you look close, there are some that work out pretty well, but there are a lot of ones that it's average, it's okay at best, it's mixed at best, and then there's some that were just disastrous, right? And football, of course, you can get out of it because it's not guaranteed.
It's right, because they always have ways to bounce for the most part. Well, I mean, but you still have bad. I mean, Nick Foles in Jacksonville is going to be a bad, bad deal.
Yeah. Well, what about the tackles, though? Like, there are some. Remember Levitre for the Titans? That one just didn't work. Yeah, right? They overpaid
him a lot of money.
And so you're
right.
That could happen with Conklin. I don't know. But I just wonder where their head is now with all these. There's no news. At times, like, there's nobody playing this out in the media for any of the contracts of Tannehill, Conklin, or Henry, other than all of a sudden, out of the blue, here comes this report about the Jets, right?
Yep.
I'm sure you guys discussed it the last couple of days, but where did that come from? Is that tampering? That was a really interesting timing to have that happen. Like, boom, he's going to the Jets.
Considering you can't do anything, but yet there's a report that he's, he could go to the Jets.
Well, there's a report a lot on somebody could go somewhere. But
it's more than just that.
He's going there.
He's going there, yeah. A little bit different.
That was weird.
All right, we'll come back. We will start the fourth and final hour with Pete Weber. We will do that. Just want to say that Chris Mason normally joins us Wednesdays at this time. He's out helping the community. Okay, so the kind of schedule change, and he's out and about rolling up his sleeves and helping out. So we certainly appreciate that. So Pete Weber will fill in his place, and we appreciate Pete doing that. We'll talk to him next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.